Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perry A. about calcium bentonite clay. I'm your hostess for the day to answer your questions about this wonderful product we call calcium bentonite clay. And I have some questions in queue for the day. Hello, Perry. I was recently told about the benefits of bentonite clay and wanted to ask about healing my knees with it. I was involved in a head-on collision and my left meniscus lining was torn severely from the crash. I've been told to do the arthroscopic surgery, but wanted to try this last, less expensive, invasive step of applying bentonite clay. Do you feel this would help, and how long should I apply it for? Healing a torn ligament or the lining may take a little longer than normal. Normally, when you start using it on your knees, you would take the clay mask and just cover your knee thickly. I would go 360 behind your knee and over the top of your knee, put it on thickly, and wrap some saran wrap or Glad press and seal over it to hold it in place, and just leave it on there at night. And if you can, off and on during the day, you'd want to change it a couple of times, particularly if it's quite swollen, because it's going to pull that heat and inflammation out, and then fresh clay will be very cooling to it. I don't know how successful on a torn meniscus lining. I know if there's a knee that's kind of slipped out or the little meniscus has slipped out of place, often when the clay reduces the swelling, it will realign it and it will slip back into place. But I'm like you, I definitely try it. And for a plethora of reasons, I would also drink some of the liquid clay. I like the Living Clay brand, and I would drink 1 to 2 ounces twice a day while you're going to this. It just helps relieve the pain, keeps the arthritis from building up in that knee. And I wish you the very best with us, and please call me and let me know how you do and if it worked or not, so I'll know what to tell someone else. But I'm like you, it's certainly worth a try. And I have seen it, people with vertebra out of alignment, and they wanted to operate and put a rod in this guy's spine, and he used clay poultices for about a month, and they realigned, and he was back climbing mountains again, mountain climber. He had a bad fall. So I just don't put anything beyond, or too many things beyond, clay's capability. Thank you for your question. Joanne Eckert from Massachusetts. Dear Perry, my 16-year-old nonverbal autistic son had a bike accident and lost part of his index finger. He had hand surgery under anesthetic and will get the bandage off in 2 weeks. What can we do to assist the healing of his finger now? And once the bandage comes off, right now the wound is not supposed to be exposed or get wet, so I have not been able to put clay on it. I've been giving him 4 ounces of clay each day to help tear the anesthesia from his system. Well, Joan, I think you're doing the right thing. You know, if you could get a bag, not a plastic bag, but a tightly knit cloth bag, and put some clay in it and just put it over his finger, the dry powder clay, in a bag, the energy of the clay will go to it, should go through. I've heard that it will help realign bones. And also want to mention, are you giving him clay baths? Because most autistic children, when they get clay baths, they become more verbal, making more eye contact, and calmer in the bath. Something about the clay bath soothes them, and the parents say they notice it in minutes of them taking a bath. Certainly hope this works for your son, and definitely when the bandage comes off and you can apply the clay, I would keep the wet clay on it. You know, even if the stitches are on there, if the doctors don't mind, put the wet clay on it and keep it on there, and then gently wash it off at night and put a fresh one on. You can use the Glad Present Seal or Saran Wrap to hold it in place and keep it moist, and that should help speed the healing time. Good luck with that, and I'm always curious to know how things work with people, so if you have time to shoot me an email or give me a call, I think my information is on the www.bentontonightclayinfo.com website. Julie Barbera from Houma. Just learning about bentonite clay. Is it the same as living clay? Living clay is a bentonite clay. It's a calcium bentonite clay, and it's a very unique calcium bentonite clay in that it is a triple swelling clay. Most clays swell 1:1. So when you mix this one with water, you use like 1 cup of clay, or 3 cups of water and 1 cup of clay. But I've lately been adding a couple of extra tablespoons because clay tends to pack, and there's a difference in a packed cup and a loose cup. It's kind of like flour. It gets loose and it gets air in there. So your cup measurement may not, it may turn out a little soupy. So if you add a cup of clay and about 2 tablespoons to that, it'll come out a really good, pudding-like consistency, and that's good for using topically. You can also drink it. We mix it for living clay. I mix a 1:8 ratio. And I like to use a blender for mixing the clay for both the hydrated and the liquid because it just comes out smoother and really sweet, doesn't leave any lumps or anything. I use, for the liquid, 4 cups of water to 1/2 cup of clay and blend it on high for about 30 seconds and then pour it into a food grade plastic or glass jar with a plastic lid. You don't want to have a metal lid on there because it reacts with metals and it'll rust them. All right. Thank you for those. Let's see what else we have. Those are the only questions we have in queue right now. But I had a question sent to me by a listener this morning who is a loyal listener. And she said, I have a question and will listen to the recording if I'm not on. I know my amalgam fillings are extremely serious health issues. However, if one does have some and does teeth brushing with clay and packing gums at night, will it deteriorate the fillings while removing the toxins? No, it won't harm the fillings. Yeah. Generally, amalgam fillings, if you've had them for a long time, 15, 20 years or something, they begin to leak. They begin to shrink and leak a little of the mercury. It's not something you see. If you look it up, there's a video out there that shows the mercury gas kind of leaving. I don't know how they did that, but anyway, it releases some of the mercury that's in the amalgam. The clay will absorb the mercury, and the best thing to do is after brushing your teeth and after eating where you're chewing anything, take a mouthful of clay and swish it around. You can either spit it out or swallow it. It'll grab the mercury and it'll take it in one end and take it out the other end. It's not absorbing the bloodstreams. Now then, if you have had, and the clay that doesn't shrink the amalgams more, it doesn't affect that of the fillings. It just catches any leaking mercury. And chewing and brushing kind of activate the release of the mercury. So swishing after you eat or in the morning after you brush your teeth would be good. And drinking the clay, of course. And then if you think you've, and you probably have, it was probably leaking before you noticed it, or could have been, you can check with your doctor, your dentist, and ask him if he can tell if they're loose and leaking. And the clay baths are excellent at removing any that gets stored in the body. And mercury is an element that gets deeply sequestered in the muscles and soft tissues of the body. So it generally takes a little longer to get it out of your system than with some of the normal heavy metals. This is what I've found from all the scientific evidence I've read and studied. But the clay baths are wonderful for relieving, releasing, and for capturing these toxins through the pores of the skin. And what you want to do is get a nice, good warm bath going, and in a blender, put in half, fill it half with water, put 1 or 2 cups of clay. If you think you have a lot of toxins, we recommend 2 cups. Otherwise, generally 1 cup will do. And then fill it to about 1 inch of the top, so you have the clay sandwiched between the water. Blend it on high for 30 seconds. You want all the lumps out. Go pour it in your bathtub. Rinse as much clay as you can out. Before you get in, unscrew the blender blades and wash them off. You don't want to leave clay in prolonged contact with the blender blades or it'll rust them. Get in the tub. I take a cup and I fill the tub up as high as I can, and I put a roll a towel up behind my head and lean back and get down at my, as much of my body as I could submerge into the water. And I take this cup, and you have to keep the clay circulating because it's heavier and it settles to the bottom. So I take a wash rag and swish it around, and I take this cup and I pour it over my chest, my head, I just want to get it all over my body. And you can stay there 15, 20, 30 minutes if you like. I have one lady that stays about 1 hour. It relaxes her so. And when you get out, you don't have to rinse off. You just dry off. And your skin's going to feel baby soft. And if you had any sore muscles, you'll notice they're not sore anymore. And it's very good for your skin as well. I can't say how amazing the clay baths are. You know, we have autistic children who take their first clay bath, and the parents notice they're making more eye contact. Most become more verbal, and they're calmer. And generally, they don't like change. So, you know, one lady put her nephew in the bathtub, and then she'd take some of the clay mask in her hand and kind of mix it with the water behind his back. And a little bit he realized what she's doing, and he turned to her and looked her in the eye and said, "More, please." And he didn't make much eye contact, so that kind of startled her. Then he pointed to the wash rag and he said, "Towel, please." He's a very polite little boy. And looked at her in the eye, and he seemed real calm. She called her mother, who lived 2 doors down, to see if she noticed the difference. And when she walked into the bathroom, he looked up at his grandmother and looked her right in the eye and said, "Hi, grandmother." And so it's very noticeable that the clay has a positive effect on autistic children, as well as detoxing heavy metals from our body. So those two things alone are very promising for that. Now, if you can't get into a bathtub, the pores of your feet have over 200,000 pores. And so if you can mix up that solution and put it in a plastic tub and soak your feet in it, if you can leave them in there for 1 hour or so, now you can cover it. This won't be as watered down a solution as what you use in the bathtub. You can cover it and reuse it, I'd say 4 or 5 times. If you notice the clay smelling, you know it's full of the toxins and it's at its capacity, and you can get fresh clay. Now, I had one gentleman that was taking his clay water because he was afraid it would hurt his pipes, and he was taking it by the bucket full and throwing out on his lawn in the wintertime. And the next spring, everywhere he had thrown that clay water, the grass was real green and the rest of his lawn was dead. So don't waste that clay water. Stir it up, get your pitcher full, go around and water your house plants and things like that with it. And It does not hurt your septic tanks, and it does not hurt your plumbing. The main thing is that you mix it in the blender and there are no lumps in it. If you try to sprinkle it in the bathtub, you're going to have a fine dust of powder all over your bathroom, and you're going to have lumps in your clay, and that's what can hurt it. It's actually known to clean the pipes. By the time you've rinsed all the clay out of the tub and down the drain, it's pretty well gone through and cleaned your pipes out. We've had one lady who gave her autistic child clay baths every day, and she said that they lived in an old house, and they used to have the plumber out about twice a year, and since she had been given her clay baths, she hadn't had them out in over a year. So it is safe for that. I just can't say enough about the clay baths. The clay baths are so good for the whole body. I mean, you're not aware that you're detoxing. You're not aware that you have these toxins in you. If you take them at night, you're going to sleep like a baby. They're very relaxing and calming. And if you have worked out, say you played tennis and you haven't played in the winter, and you go back to playing and you've used muscles you haven't used in a while, or working in the garden will do it for you too, and you're achy all over and your muscles are stiff and sore, get in a clay bath and soak for about 15 or 20 minutes. When you get out, you notice those sore muscles are gone. The soreness has just been removed. It's an overexertion of acetic silic acid by the body, and the clay pulls that out to the pores of the skin. So just remember that. Sandra says, my husband refuses to drink living clay liquid. Can I give it to him in a smoothie or some other way he might find more palatable? Yes, ma'am, you can. We even have recipes on the bentoniteclayinfo.com site. There are a lot of recipes that you can cook with it. We had a lady with twin boys. She had four boys, and she couldn't get them to drink it. So she creatively, she'd put it in brownies, and she'd make pizza crust with it in there, and had a lot of recipes, cookies and things, smoothies. You can add it to smoothies. It's great. If you're adding it to a smoothie and you're putting the dry powder in a blender, it will blend it up. But it may take a little more liquid because it's going to absorb more of the moisture. Or you can go ahead and fix the liquid and just pour like 4 ounces in with your smoothie. And they never know they're taking it. I give it to my grandson in apple juice. And he looks at it and he won't take it, but he loves it for topical use. And he tells all of his friends, you know, they go fishing, and sometimes a catfish will jab you with this little whisker things, and it hurts. And so they take clay with them and put it on them, and they get in the mosquitoes and stuff. And it's just good for most everything, particularly the skin. But definitely get some clay in him. Now, I haven't mentioned this, but 80% of the people who take clay start noticing their bowel movements are very regular, and they're actually making like 3 bowel movements a day, which ideally is what we're supposed to do. It's supposed to be food in, poop out, food in, poop out. And most of us just go 1 or 2 a day. But they notice that their stool is softer and more regular. And then we have 20% who their constitution is different and they get constipated. But it's a simple fix. You can go get some magnesium oxide tablets at the drugstore. And there, you want the round tablets that you can cut in half, because sometimes one's not enough. You may need 2, or you may need a half of one, or you may need 1.5. You can find your happy place with them. But they'll keep you regular. But don't stop taking the clay. It's too valuable for you. Michael Dontru says, can clay help with toenail fungus? Yes, sir. You smother that toe with that clay real thickly. Wrap it in some saran wrap. I like to, the first time I tried it, I smothered the toe and I sat outside and propped it up and let it dry, and as it was drying, I could feel this little pulsating, this little pull. It was like it was sucking something out. I could feel that stimulation, but it wasn't anything painful. It's just a pulsating feeling. And the first time I felt it, after that I didn't feel it, and I would do it like every other day for a week. And then I thought, oh, well, this isn't working. I don't see any change in my toes. So I quit using it, and before long I looked down and I noticed my toenails were growing out. The hollow part at the front where the fungus was white and chalky. They were growing out, and there was a good pink toenail bed behind it. So I started using it again, and periodically, you know, you'll have to use it again because it gets deep back up in there. But it will definitely, definitely pull it out, and just keep applying it. You can put it on and wrap some saran wrap around it, put some scotch tape on it, sleep with it on at night if you want. But definitely get it on there. Toenail fungus, any kind of fungus related thing, put play on it. It pulls viruses, fungus, bad bacteria. We had a lady with and I'm going to get Cheryl to put this testimony on there because she sent pictures. She had a diabetic ulcer about the size of a 50-cent piece that looked like a big red spot and pus around it. She had gangrene in it. They'd given her 2 rounds of strong antibiotics that didn't phase it, and the doctors were about to amputate. And a little lady that lived at her church heard about it and took her some clay, and she'd go over every day and cover that foot in clay, and would come back the next day and change it and put a fresh coat on. In 2 weeks, it started drying up, that thing, and it was a very deep core in a big circle. And they kept doing it in, like, I forget how long, maybe a month or so. It pulled that dead skin off, but it healed from the inside out because it was a deep core hole. The infection went pretty deep. But the clay heals from the inside out, and it fills the flesh part in. And it also, you know, she had it all over her feet, and she had a lot of calluses and corns. It peeled off those thick corns, and at the end, her foot looked like a baby's foot. It was just as soft and pink and good circulation as a baby's foot. So that's one of the most amazing things, and to see the pictures, because some of them were really pretty gross at first. So I'm going to get Cheryl to add that one, and it will be under diabetic foot ulcer. So speaking of, oh, here's another one. I guess this is a continuation from Donald, Michael. Speaking of oral health, can you use clay orally on gum issues? Would you use a poultice or just the powder? Thank you, Janice. Okay, now that one was from Janice. Very definitely, if you have pyorrhea or gum disease, start packing your gums with clay powder. And if you have a popsicle stick, that'll hold a little ridge of clay, and then pull your cheek out and deposit it between the cheek and gums. And you'll get a little on your tongue and you can swallow it. It's okay. But you may have to do it 2 or 3 times to get it in there between your cheek and gums, and just sleep with it on at night. The saliva will hold it in place, and then in the morning you can rinse it out and spit it out. What you swallow is fine. It'll go out the other end. But we had a lady that had real severe gums, had been bleeding, and they said that she needed that surgery where they had to pull down the gums and scrape the bottom of the teeth. And she started using this for a week before her appointment, and when she got to the appointment, her gums had done it. Instead of being red, they had gone back to pink, and they were tightened up. So the doctor said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up, and we're going to just watch this for a while. We're not going to do that surgery. And she never had to do it. So keep your teeth clean. Go to the dentist. Don't let that build up below the gum line get there. When you get older, your gums aren't as tight. And so those pockets get in there, and the clay will tighten those pockets and pull the bacteria out. And you can brush your teeth with it. It sort of helps the coffee stains, tea stains, diminish some. It doesn't make a Matthew McConaughey white, but a lot of people notice their teeth are whiter. I mix some clay with a little stevia and some cloves and a few drops of peppermint and work it into the powder clay and make a tooth powder. And then I put toothpaste on my toothbrush because I like the suction action, and it keeps your toothpaste from looking dirty and gray. And then I wet it and tap the water off and then just dip it in the clay and brush my teeth with it. And it has a nice flavor with the cloves and a little bit of peppermint. When you put the peppermint oil in, I take rubber gloves and I have to go in and mash the balls up and just find any little, because they'll make little hard lumps otherwise. So you want to disperse the peppermint oil in there. I don't know if there's a such thing as powdered peppermint, but if you can get that, you could add a little of that. It doesn't take too much. You don't want to, you know, get the too much peppermint, kind of burns. So just a little. I just put a few drops into about a cup and a half of clay and some stevia and a teaspoon of cloves, ground cloves. And mix that up and put it in a little container, and it lasts a long time, and brush your teeth with it. So, all right. Let's see if we have any more questions. Can clay be used in replacement as an antibiotic for bacterial issues? Yes, depending on where the bacterial issue is. If it's in your gut, absolutely. If it's an open wound, yes. And I'm trying to think of where it can be used, and nothing's coming up. Sometimes we get bacterial infections. The clay doesn't go into the bloodstream, but it does enrich the blood because it's a catalyst and it works with enzyme in the body, and it can make diastase and oxidase enzymes that will help build red blood cells. So it will stop anemia even though it's not absorbed into the bloodstream. It goes in indirectly with enzymatic action with the body. And there were stories of these shrimp, that little shrimp, they call them the Garia shrimp. They lived in pools of clay water in France. And the biologist came along and they said, well, they can't live in clay and water alone because there's no caloric intake of clay. There's no calories there. There's nothing, you know, it's just minerals. They can't live on that alone. So they took them out, and they tried to feed them, and they died, and the ones that they left in there were thriving. So they determined the shrimp had enzymes that could build amino acids and peptide chains, and from that they could build proteins and vitamin minerals that the shrimp needed, even though it wasn't in the clay itself. It's just a catalyst that work with these enzymes in the French so it could develop whatever it needed for it. Kind of tell me, if you can, what type of bacterial issue you're talking about, and that'll help me a little bit more. So we'll give her a minute to come up with a question. I'm going to go over to the conference line. Doesn't look like we have too many people on the phone today. I'm giving serious consideration to, particularly in the summertime, going to one seminar a month for on clay, and then doing the wellness seminar, because I'm finding not as many people come in. Of course, a lot of them are work, but they come in and they listen to the recordings afterwards. We list the topics we discuss, and these are archived, so you can go back and listen to them, and you can pick the recordings that have topics that you had questions about and see if it covers your question. We all get busy in the summertime, and I've started getting a social life after my retirement from the company, after we sold it, and enjoying doing some traveling and playing games with some little ladies. There's six of us. We call ourselves the Senior Six Pack, and we play card games and dominoes and take little short trips and go to a bed and breakfast in some little quaint town like Salado, Texas, or Fredericksburg, and spend the night and just walk the shops and have a good time and celebrate life and keep going. So it rules my Thursday out because three Thursday a month I'm doing the teleseminars and the I have to schedule my activities for after it or before it and get home in time. So I would love your feedback on what you think about that, if you think that would be okay. I had one person respond last time. Just haven't had too many people on the line lately with calls. And, you know, it's a beautiful day out today, and summer's here, and the kids are out from school, and I'm planning on going out and getting outside and doing a little yard work and being in the fresh air. So I understand how people get busy and do all that. I do want to tell you that the bentoniteclayinfo.com website is a free educational site. It has articles, tons of, like over 20 articles about bentonite clay and its uses. It has an instructional book where if you're using the triple swirling clay, like the living clay, it gives you specific instructions on how to mix it, the do's and don'ts of using it. If you're taking it internally, you want to take it away from prescription medicines. It's best to call your pharmacy and ask them, tell them what medicines you're taking and ask them how long it takes your body to absorb it. Generally, in 1 to 2 hours, the medicine's been absorbed unless it's a time release. And then you're free to collect the clay because the clay doesn't go into the bloodstream. Once it's absorbed into the bloodstream, you're fine. And that's why the clay is good for people on chemo treatments that are getting it IV. The clay will never interfere with it. But it does alkalize your system, and so much of the chemo makes other things go wrong, and they get mouth ulcers and stomach ulcers and things like that, and it just supports the healing with that 9.7 pH. And you can put it on the mouth ulcers, and a lot of people get nauseous with it, and if you start sipping on the clay water, anytime you think you've got food poisoning or an upset stomach, just start sipping on a little clay water. And it will, you know, likely, I've gotten over severe food poisoning where I didn't know which end to hang over the porcelain bowl. And it, in 15 to 20 minutes sipping on clay, I was over it. It just really settles the stomach. If you have any kind of acid reflux, you ought to be on clay. You don't need the purple pill or all the Tums or the Maalox and things. The clay will cure it very quickly in 1 to 2 days. And if you just drink a little clay along, you will maintain that, and you won't have that problem anymore. And I can't say enough about how clay helps your skin. I had a little lady the other day that had, we had gone on a retreat, and she got home and she emailed us and she said, "Oh no, I got home and I started an outbreak of shingles on my chest." And so a friend knew about my clay and told her to call me, and we got her some clay, and she put it on there, and she was drinking it. And I saw her a week later, and she said, oh, it's already dried up. It's barely noticeable. And she kind of showed me where it was. It stopped it. And she said, I didn't have the pain like other people do. And, of course, I knew that was because of the clay. It's a natural analgesic. If something hurts, put clay on it. I don't care if you mash your finger in the door, put clay on it. If it hurts, put clay on it. If it's a headache, you got a migraine headache, I would put clay over my temple, maybe saturate a wash rag with clay and lay down and press it into my face and over my eyes and the area where the headache is and start sipping on a little clay. And you can chase that booger back in the next year. I know it sounds preposterous, but it works. Trying to look at some. We had a lady that called the other day, and she had constant diarrhea, and she was so amazed when she started taking the clay that it got her diarrhea under control. And I had a lady with a Wren cyst, it's W-E-N cyst, and it's a knot, and she had it behind her ear on the back of her head, and it swelled so big, and her whole face began to swell, and she said, I could feel the pressure in my ears, in my brain, in my head, and her face, she looked like she weighed 300 pounds when she took the picture. And a couple of weeks later, after drinking the clay, and I don't know if she put the clay on the lump or not, she just started drinking the clay, and it went down. And I have a testimonial with that picture, too. She took me a picture before and after. And she's a young chick, beautiful young thing, but her whole face was swollen. Her jaws and her cheeks and her eyes were all puffy and everything from the pressure the cyst was causing. So, just can't tell you enough ways to use the clay. If you have a doubt, put clay on it. Now, I have noticed it doesn't work with things like multiple sclerosis where there has been permanent nerve damage, or maybe Parkinson's. I did get a testimonial from a lady with Parkinson's that said when she started drinking the clay, her tremors became less noticeable. Didn't say they went away, just became less. So that is a little bit of help there. But something like Alzheimer's, I haven't noticed it with that. I have a lot of people that says it gives them mental clarity, and particularly teenagers that are working with math. I've got two testimonials from two different girls from different parts of the United States. They were like 14 and 16 and never could understand algebra and said they just had a mental block and were hazy, and said when they started drinking the clay for their acne, they noticed all of a sudden they could understand algebra. So there's a testimonial for you. Have no idea how that worked. Maybe just releasing the tension and the block they have to it. So much time stress can, and anticipation of not being able, this is going to be hard. Everybody tells you algebra is hard, and just the anticipation of it causes you to put up a block where you really can't learn. My daughter believes that she's brain dead to algebra. And it's just how much you study it, you get a good foundation of it, and remember what you learn at first. You have to remember the formulas and the different things so you can carry it forward. And maybe it's more of a memory problem. And I thought that was a cute testimonial. There are lots of testimonials there. You can download that free book. There's a link there that will take you to my new book, which is Calcium Bentonite Clay, Nature's Pathway to Healing. The new company discontinued the Living Clay book, the original one, and I had already been working on a new book that was more current and updated the the protocols, because in the last 7 or 8 years, I had learned so much since I wrote the book that it needed a good upgrade, and I found more research and that I could put in there that would help you understand the science of play. And so we put new testimonials and new recipes, and it's well worth the money. It's got over 180 protocols for different individual ailments, and you can go in there and it has all the do's and don'ts of play and about detoxing, and I'm very proud of it, but there's a link there, will take you over to the page, and if you click on the buy, you don't have to buy it, but it will take you to the page where you can read the first chapter and look at the table of contents, and then you can just X out of it and not have to buy it. But I'm real proud of the new book, and people who are wholesalers and sell the living clay, if you're listening in and you want to open a wholesale account and you have proof of your doing business as, you can contact, I can give you a number you can contact and to order the clay, and they'll set you up with a wholesale account. So, okay, I'm not seeing any more questions coming up. Let me go back to the conference line. And it looks like I'm still the only one on the phone. So I'm going to call it a day and tell you to go out and play and find something fun to do and enjoy this day that God has made for you. Be healthy, be happy, and have a wonderful summer. This is Perrier signing out.